I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
My goal, of course, on KSL Outdoors Radio is at one point to do that opening while on horseback. I want to be on horseback and then start the show.
We'll do whatever we can to help you.
Can we make that? So it's an important goal.
You have to just
Sounds so good.
Yeah. It's always great.
Well, you know what? It also is a really good lead into. If you're going to talk legacy, if you're going to talk history of Utah.
Yeah.
That music makes some sense.
Yeah, it does.
If you were going to talk about adventure in Utah, then that music makes good sense, which we're going to do both right now with Cordell Anderson.
Good morning, Cordell.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's really good. It's really good to see your face and in a weird sort of way, you know?
Well, thank you very much.
Are you saying his face is weird?
No, not at all.
Okay.
But it's just good to have you in here. We talk to you all the time, but it's good to have you in here.
Yeah, absolutely, sir. Thank you.
You started the Uinta, well, you're calling it the Uinta Project?
The Uinta Wilderness Project.
Okay. How long ago did you start that?
That was in 2003.
2003. Wow. Since that date, you've been calling into KSL Outdoors.
Right. I mean,
one way or another, you know, and it's been good to have you and good to have your source of information and updates on trail issues and all the stuff. But your goal in mind, I think, as far back as I can remember, is to gather information and put it in. I don't think when you start out, you didn't know where you were going to put it all, probably in a physical book. But you've assembled a phenomenal guide to the Uintas. In your ebook that you've just put together, we've talked about the last few weeks, but what a momentous accomplishment!
Well, I wanted to make the Uintas come alive for everybody because it's so much more interesting when you're going up whatever drainage it might be if you know the history connected to that area. All of a sudden, you're looking for things and recognizing things that otherwise. Most people don't even think about. They think, well, that was from, you know, the pioneers or something. But, hey, there's a lot more to it than that.
A lot more. I mean, you've been in canyons that nobody ever goes in. I think probably the biggest thing that came to light last week when we talked about the railroad is I think you're the only guy that's done any research on the Tiehackers.
Yeah.
I've never heard that word before.
Well, most Utahns don't. You know, when I talk to people, I say, have you heard about the Tiehackers? And they're mystified. They don't know what I'm talking about. In fact, in the beginning, I went to the Utah Historical Society. I said, I want everything you've got on the Tiehackers.
And they said, what?
They didn't even know what I was talking about. And finally, we found a box down in the basement of some old pictures.
Really?
About the Tiehackers. But so I started delving into this interesting subject, which is so connected to the Transcontinental Railroad.
Yeah.
Without the Tiehackers, there would not have been a Transcontinental Railroad.
Right.
And there are people wondering now, what are you talking about?
Right.
I'm talking about the railroad ties.
Yeah.
Without the railroad ties, there would have been no railroad.
Yeah,
and it was my Tiehackers, our Tiehackers, that sent into the north slope of the Uinta Mountains with their broad axes to work 12 months a year right through the winter, making millions of railroad ties and getting them down the river into Wyoming where they were picked up by the railroad to make the railroad. And these guys were, in speeches I've given in Evanston and in Colville and other places, I call them the unsung American heroes without whom the West might not have been won. And we can add, and there would not have been a transcontinental railroad.
And you found in your travels in the Uintas, you found the remnants of the Thai hackers, old leftover buildings, dilapidated.
I've discovered new sites that have never been reported on, never photographed. And my book, I've got to bring my book into my e-book. It has reporting. Now, my e-book is not just about the Thai hackers, by the way. That's just one of the many subjects. But it does have a review of the history of the Thai hackers and pictures of relics and of artifacts and of sites which have never been reported on or pictured in any place before. So
talk a minute about the splash ponds and the flumes.
Oh, the splash dams.
Splash dams, thank you.
Yes, splash dams. I wonder, what's that all about? Well, the Thai hackers would worked in the wintertime because they could transport the railroad ties easier over the snow using sleds. And they would accumulate the railroad ties in the drainages behind temporary dams that they would build across them and create a lake. So that when the thaw came, you've got this lake covered with hundreds of thousands of railroad ties, and then they would blow these dams with dynamite, and with a splash, they would get washed down into Wyoming where they'd be picked up by the railroad. So those are splash dams, and it comes from them blowing them with dynamite, creating this splash like a tidal wave.
Oh, man. Wow. That had to be the highlight of the year, huh, blowing the dam.
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't it be great to have a movie of that?
Can you recall some of the names of the cities back out of Evanston? I remember you searching for those cities and some of the history that we've talked about in the past.
Yes, there are a number of ghost towns. There's the old Black's Fork Commissary, for example, which is actually on private property, but you can see a lot of it from the road. That's on the east on the Black's Fork River. And there are others, the McKenzie compound and whatnot. But the famous one, and it's not actually mentioned in what I'm going to in the series on TV, Hell on Wheels.
Oh, right.
Everybody's
right.
Heard of that. Yeah. Well, that is about a 50 episode history of the Transcontinental Railroad, and about these temporary towns that would erupt along the way as the railroad progressed. Well, one of them was Beartown or Bear River City. In the beginning, it was actually called Gilmer, but then it took on the Bear River name, and it grew to 2,000 people just overnight. And there were good guys and there were bad guys. The good guys knew that there were certain bad guys that were responsible for some crime. So they had their vigilante group and went and hung two or three of them. And the bad guys then got organized and came after the good guys who were holed up in the general store. When these guys came around the corner, they just got a new shipment of Henry rifles. And in the first volley, 15 of the bad guys were dead. And there was a literal war that went on, and it ended up being the bloodiest war in the history of Wyoming between white people. There was one guy who later became President Eisenhower's hero. His name was Tom Smith. Huh. He'd been a policeman back in New York, involved in a shooting with some bad guys, and the young 14-year-old kid got killed. So Tom decided he wouldn't carry a gun anymore. But he was a professional boxer, so he would subdue the bad guys with his fists. But he ended up going west, was a teamster for the railroad, came through Beartown, and they needed somebody to enforce the law. So he became the marshal, and he tried to stop this war and actually got wounded in the process. And by then, he was carrying guns again. In fact, some reports say he had two guns, but he was wounded. The war actually wasn't ended until soldiers came from Fort Bridger to stop it. He ended up in Abilene, Kansas, where he ended up getting killed. And that's where President Eisenhower is from. And they say that every time President Eisenhower would come to his hometown, he would go to the cemetery and put flowers on Tom Bear River Smith's grave. So Tom acquired this nickname, yeah. Bear River. Yeah. But that's 10 miles south of Evanston, 12 miles north of the Utah border, but connected, of course, with the Tiehackers and the railroad. Became known as the liveliest, if not the most wicked town in America. But then, with this war, the railroad decided not to run a spur over there. So it just died. Everybody left. And the history books say there is nothing left, no artifacts, nothing. Well, I've found the exact spot, and I walked over that area, and I found an old piece of wood. And I said, well, this must have been from Beartown.
Yeah.
And then I found a empty bottle of Bud Light, and I threw that into my report, too. But anyway, so that's just one of the stories that I tell in my book.
Where do we get this book? Because I'm obviously going to get right to the reading here soon. So how do we get a hold of your ebook?
Just go to my website, CordellMAnderson.com, and there will drop down what do you call it, a window or whatever, where you can click on that and get more information and actually purchase the book and get it downloaded to your computer.
That's awesome. Prepared. It's a pretty big file.
I bet it is.
And I now have it on thumb drives, so where I'm going to be giving speeches, I'll have a few thumb drives to sell for $15 each.
$15 is all? That is a bargain.
Awesome. Well, 1,600 color photographs, 120 topographical maps with routes and distances and labels. It's all there. For the hiker, the adventure, or for the those that want to make an auto loop tour of the UNS, there's a guide. The first chapter is a guide to doing that.
That's my goal this summer: is do the auto route.
Well, it shows the Uinta Mountains equal to or better than some national parks.
Yeah. That's awesome, Cordell. Thank you so very much. What a wealth of knowledge! You got to hang out for a little bit. We've got a lot more KSL Outdoors. I'm telling you, I'm a little inspired. And like you said, there's some great stuff in there that anybody can go out and try and check out themselves. But you want that good information to do it. So much more to come here on KSL Outdoors. Of course, Fish Bites with Nobby coming up after this.
Papa was a fishing man. He loved his cars and his steel guitars. Papa was a fishing man.
Papa was a fishing man. It's time for some fish bites with our buddy Nobby, who's not in studio because he is. Where, Nobby? Where are you?
Well, I'm in Roof Fishing, of course.
Yeah.
Is that a trick question?
Yeah, because I want you to tell me where, and I know you're not going to.
No. We fished East Canyon last week.
And it's snowing there this week, so.
Yeah, but, you know, the fish are already wet.
Good point. It's awful to get wet when you're in a lake, right?
You know, as we say, and you might not know, Joe, there's no bad weather, just bad clothing.
This actually is a good point, because do not have the proper gear for fly fishing.
Well, that's
really
the key. You know, clothing is gear, like you say.
Yeah. I need to get some stuff because I'm the guy that goes out in the summertime wearing river shoes and shorts and stands there freezing cold. But I'm happy because I'm catching a fish. But I think I would be a lot happier if I was warm and not.
You know, if you go, if the key is go.
That's
I heard you say, I want to download Cordell's book. I want to do.
You got to do it.
Stuff. You put it on the calendar and it just happens.
There you go.
Yep.
I like it. So tell me about today. What's the plan?
Well, I don't know about today because we haven't done it yet. But the plan is to fish them the same as we fished last week. And by the way, last week we did really well. We were at East Canyon. Yep. I had 100%. I had 20 students. Everybody caught fish. The high guy was 16 and the low guy was 2.
Not
but
bad.
It was a lot of fun. They're jumpers. I don't know. They got a new strain in there now. They're kind of like the ones we caught last week, a little chubby in the middle, a little small in the head, but they just tear right out of the water as soon as you hook them. So it's a lot of fun. We have this one pattern we worked last week. It was a little purple leech. We called a purple freeloader. That was our best pattern. Another one we called Kamea Rouge, which is a red pattern. And, you know, I can't say anything, but we did great, and we're hoping for good things this week. We're going to head to breakfast here in just a few minutes, and then next week I'll be calling in again, and we'll tell you how we did.
Hey, about what time do you think you will get on the water today?
I'd say we leave breakfast by 10 minutes after 9, and we're usually wet by 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're supposed to get a break. This weather's supposed to taper off a little bit today.
Yeah, well, we have a raincoat.
But yeah.
It'd be nice if the sky clears.
And that's what I want to quickly, so people know, rain has no effect on the fishing. Is that correct?
Well, it has effect on the fishing, yeah. And it's not always negative. It's as much positive as negative. So, yeah, it doesn't affect the fishing. It's about the barometer.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't expect us to have any problems. I mean, we're not going to get skunked because it's raining or anything like that.
Right.
Hey, did you guys see Mickey's fish?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That was a monster.
Yeah, that's huge.
About sunk the boat.
Somebody put it on the KSL, I heard. So, yeah, people who's listening, they can hear this. Mickey caught 37-inch, 27-pound mackerel from his little float tube at Bear Lake.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, there's some good footage on there, and them squawking and stuff, that's always good to see. Yeah. But they're fishing now. They're somewhere in Wyoming. I don't even know where they are, but I got a text last night and says that it's 38 degrees, but it's going to get colder through the night. So
is this your class you're taking out today?
Yeah, today's the last day of my float tube class.
Float tube, okay.
We have 20 of us, and then we do, and I'm done. I got a week off.
Uh-huh.
And then I start my fly tying class.
Okay.
And then we're flying to Europe. So.
Oh, nice.
So every weekend is booked, and I usually try to get in the studio. And it's just a hard time of year for me to get in the studio with the classes. Right, but they're ending soon, so is school.
When do you start your next round of classes?
I got a dry fly class in late July.
All right.
But we start again in September.
Okay.
You can already register, wildtrouts.com. My classes have been really full for the last 10 years, and they've been just wonderful with the most wonderful people. And I have 2 years left, Russ. Can you believe that?
It's
I have
hard to believe.
Six classes left to teach. So I got a lot of people in my class that say, oh, my gosh, we just wanted to take it. We've been thinking about it for a long time. Well, if you're one of those, you better hurry because I'm going to retire here in 2 years. Six more classes.
All right. You said we just got to do it, right? So
yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to do it because I need to take it. Yeah, I need to take one. So I'm going to start calendaring right now and figuring out which one I'm going to go after.
Right.
All right?
That's exactly right.
I don't want to miss out because the stories I've heard from Russ about how entertaining this class is for anyone.
Well, informative, too.
Informative.
Yeah, and...
People and I want to be a better fisherman.
But they love the people.
Yeah. I just want to be a better fisherman, and I think that's
education. That will happen.
Yeah.
You will be skunk-proof.
Oh, I like that idea a lot because I have not been skunk-proof at all. I have been skunked much.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
Well, have a great day, Mike.
All right. All right, guys.
Hey.
You have a safe one,
okay.
Too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Navi.
Good to hear from him.
Well, you know... A day fishing, right?
Yeah.
Better than any day working. So, isn't that what they
just
say?
Just about anything.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, it's terrific. Yeah. Great to hear from him. And, of course, as we mentioned, we've got a lot more coming up on the second hour of KSL Outdoors. We've got, we're going to be talking about several cool things. And I think we're going to revisit a little more. I want to revisit a little more of the history of the rail and
right.
And the tie hackers and a few more things. So we're going to keep Cordell around for a little bit as well. Talk about that.
Sounds good.
I'll tell you about some things that are happening up in Park City today.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that's where I'm from. So things are happening up there that are exciting to talk about. So there's a lot coming up. You good for that, Russ?
I think so. I'll make it through, I think, one way or another here.
It's just to give you a little update. It's still raining a little bit, snowing in the mountains, and significantly so on Interstate 80. So if you're heading out and you've got somewhere to be, just give yourself some more time and take it easy today. Nobody's rushing.
It is supposed to taper off a little bit today, but maybe we'll hear that here in a minute on the news.
Yeah. Of course, we have our full news, weather, traffic, and all of that coming up here on KSL, and the Greenhouse Show follows us in a little more than an hour. So you'll want to stay tuned because everything exciting in KSL happens on Saturdays. That's what I think.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that okay to say?
Yeah, that's a ticket.
We'll be back with more of KSL Outdoors after these messages. And, of course, as I said, news, traffic, and weather. That's what KSL does best. We'll be back.
Live breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services, KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station.